Good morning. Would you turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. As we continue on in this new series, we'll be looking at the second part and finishing up chapter 1 today, Lord willing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we'll look at verses 5 through 10. And we're going to continue to see how this church heard the gospel, received the gospel, and then put their belief in Jesus into action. We're going to see that the gospel and the church, when they come together, they are inseparable. One creates the other, and then the other goes and proclaims the first. And we see this precious piece, this precious group of people who are going through a lot of suffering, but the way in which they love Jesus so much and how that transforms their life. It's not just, the gospel isn't just something that they believe, say, yep, now I'm going to heaven and let's get on with life. It transforms not just the individuals, but their community, the church, the believers together. I'd invite us as we look through this letter to the church of Thessalonica to expand our understanding of what it means to be a believer. I think we tend, as part of our heritage in the West in general, as we look at faith as very much an individual thing, that it's about, you know, my personal relationship with Jesus. And it is. That's absolutely. But that's not all there is. We are adopted into a family. We are a community. We are a body. All this language that the Bible uses to describe who we are as a group together. And so I just encourage us to allow the scriptures to shift our thinking away from just, well, what does this mean about me and Jesus, to what does it mean about us and Jesus in the world, living in the world. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. I'm going to start in verse 4, just because that's where in our English Bibles the sentence starts. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word with much affliction, with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. This is God's word. Here we see a part of the interaction between the gospel and the church. What it looks like when the gospel is not only believed, but embodied by a group of believers. The first thing Paul comments on is that the gospel came to the Thessalonians. The gospel was presented to the Thessalonians. Verse 5, our gospel came to you. So it's the first thing. There was a group of non-believers, Paul and Silas and Timothy came. They shared the gospel, not only with words, but also, as we'll see, we'll discuss that in a second, but as they came with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then they became believers. Non-believers share the gospel. Some of them become believers. Right? It sounds very basic, I know, but Paul's calling out that this is what happened. Here's how it all started. Here's how the church in Thessalonica started. The gospel came to them. Every one of us had someone share the gospel with us. Might have been our parents. Might have been that we ended up in, you know, a youth group somewhere because a friend invited us. It might have been a friend who shared it. It might have been part of the culture we grew up in. We heard people preaching the gospel and sharing the gospel. Maybe even you heard it on TV or on the radio. It is possible, of course, that you found a Bible and had no other influences and started reading the Bible, and you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you became a Christian. But that's still the biblical authors proclaiming to us the gospel. That phrase, too, or that word gospel, meaning good news, it's used a number of different ways in the scriptures. Here, you know, Paul's talking about it not just in terms of the content, though it is that too, of Jesus, the Son of God, lived a sin-free life, died on the cross in our place, rose again from the dead, and that all who believe in him have our sins washed away and are saved for all eternity. It is the content, yes, but it's also the reality of what Jesus did, the reality of who he is. That is part of the gospel that we believe. And so the gospel came to the Thessalonians. There's a few different ways that Paul specifies how it came. First, he says in verse 5, our gospel came to you not only in word. But let's not miss that. Not only in word, which means it came in word. There were words spoken of the gospel. Paul and Silas and Timothy, they came in and they went to the synagogue at first, and they said to people, Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Let me tell you who Jesus is. Let's look at the scriptures, and of course, you know, they went into all of this here, but they started by saying, Jesus Christ is the Savior we all need. And they shared that with their mouths. They spoke to people who didn't believe in Jesus. And they did it because they loved Jesus and they loved people. The people that they didn't know. In their love for God, their hearts were changed to say, people need the Lord. And so they dedicated their lives to going and sharing the gospel. Secondly, it came with power, it says. Excuse me, verse 5 again. Came to you not only in word, but also in power. Now, it's possible here, talking about miracles. I don't necessarily think so. I think that it's going to connect it here, and I think actually the three things Paul mentions, which we've looked at with words, and now we're looking at with power, and we have one more to come, that all of them are in the Holy Spirit, which is the next phrase in verse 5 here. And so I think there was the reality that as Paul and the other believers were sharing the gospel, that the Holy Spirit was at work People's eyes can never be opened if the Holy Spirit is not at work in his power. And so, in a sense, that takes the pressure off of us. If we feel any sense of, oh, I got to say the right words, I got to answer all their questions. It is the power of God which brings about faith in another person, not our intelligence or powers of persuasion or how good a speaker we are. I know that can be distorted a lot, or I think it's distorted a lot, really, I'm sure, throughout the history of the church, but I certainly feel it now that there's churches have a lot of money invested in who's the best speaker and who's got the best music and who's got the newest and flashiest whatever. There's a production that's involved with presenting the gospel, and I'm all for excellence. That's what I think. It's one of the things I love about Michael and Louise is they have always strive for such excellence with what God has given to us here in our worship on Sunday mornings. So it's not about excellence, but it's about. I think I've told the story before. I heard my former seminary president say he was talking with other seminary presidents who had a meeting with local pastors to ask how the seminary could serve the church better, not our seminary, or not Gordon Conwell, but a different one. And one of the pastors of a very large church said, "Your seminary can do nothing for us." I said, "I would much rather send my pastors to get their MBA than to get a degree from seminary. That's really what we need in the church." And that's just heartbreaking to me. Because it's not about how slick we are. It's about the power of the Holy Spirit and power. Third, it came with conviction. I've just been thinking about this week. It's such an obvious statement, I know, but it's actually been helping me in my faith to realize Paul believed the gospel. Here is this person that dedicated their life to trusting that Jesus is who he says he is. Full conviction. He's not checking off a task, or he's not just going through some steps or some motions as he's sharing the gospel with words and with power, but it's with conviction. I was listening to a podcast this week, and it was looking at the life of Winston Churchill, and they were sharing some of his speeches, and the podcasters the historians were commenting on how they feel that a lot of contemporary, modern-day politicians in England try to listen to Churchill and mimic him, and because he was such a great speaker, right? He was such a great orator in a very unique time. In England's and the world's history, World War II. And the historian on the podcast commented and said that their sense was that all modern politicians fail to capture what made Winston Churchill's speeches and orations so powerful. And they made the observation that what they think is that what made Winston Churchill's speeches so powerful was that he believed what he was saying. He had great conviction. He wasn't just trying to, figure out what the people want to hear or which way the wind is blowing or what would capture people's hearts. He believed it. Paul believed with great conviction when he spoke. So that's first, the gospel came to the Thessalonians. And what did they do with that? Verses 6 and 7, they welcomed the gospel. Paul shared it, and the Thessalonians welcomed the gospel. Verses 6 and 7, you became imitators of us and the Lord, for you received the word with much affliction, with the joy of the Holy Spirit. They received the word of God, the gospel, even though they were suffering greatly, they received it with great joy. They received it with suffering, in spite of their suffering. They didn't allow their suffering to say, this isn't true, or I can't believe it, or you know, if God is real, then why doesn't he just give me all the things I want and all the things I wish for? When they believed Jesus, their circumstances were still awful, but they had joy. It's not manufactured. They didn't make it up. It was the Holy Spirit at work within them. And then they imitated Paul, and they imitated the Lord. It wasn't just something that they believe in their heads. This is what we think. We just say the sinner's prayer, or we just have to believe in our heads, and then that's it. We're done. We're like, it's great. We're now Christians, and we'll go to heaven someday. But as they believed who Jesus was, they had such a love for him, such a recognition that he really is, we say he is Lord, that means he's my master. And so they wanted to imitate him, right? That's what the word Christian really means. It means little Christs. We're imitators of Jesus. And Paul, you know, God blessed him, bless him. He so boldly says, look, if you want to follow Jesus, imitate me. Wow, that's scary. He's not being prideful at all. He has a life of integrity where he's following Jesus, and he says that you can follow me, and that's what we're called to do and to be. And as they began imitating Paul and imitating Jesus in his life, in his words, in his thinking, in his heart, they became a model for other believers. Verse 7, you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. So, the gospel comes to Thessalonica, excuse me. They welcome the gospel. They believe it. They give their lives to it. They start following, imitating Jesus. And then other people notice. Even before they start talking, they've lived their lives in such a way and have been, you know, not necessarily 100% change overnight, but in this case, fairly quickly, there are things about their lives that have changed so that other people go, you know, Bob, that famous person from Thessalonica, Bob, he believes in this new something, this Jesus guy, and he's been behaving really differently. He's really kind now. He cares about what's going on in my life. He's been helping me at work. See, he's changed his priorities from trying to put himself first, and now his family and his community are first in his life. See that he's not trying to show how great he is everywhere he goes, but he's trying to help other people become better and great. There's something going on in Bob. And this group of people Bob's hanging out with, I know they're giving all their money and they're helping all these poor people. They're going in there, they're bringing them into their homes and giving them food and clothes and jobs, and something's different. They welcomed the gospel. First, the gospel came to Thessalonians. Second, they welcomed the gospel, received the gospel, lived and embodied the gospel. And then what happened? And by the way, the point here, this isn't just for the people at Thessalonica. This is the Christian experience when the church and the gospel are lived. Then the gospel rang out from them, came to them, they welcomed it, and they don't keep it. They don't hold on to it. They share the gospel. They proclaim it. Verses 8 through 10. And Paul calls out some very tangible ways that the gospel rang out from them. Yes, words is one of them. Right? Verse 8. Not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you. So yes, they're using words. They're telling people, Jesus is the Savior. But then they're also doing other things. One, they turn from idols. Middle of verse 9. People around are talking about how they turned to God from idols. Now, in their case, it probably was physical idols, right? Worshipping of false gods, idols, you know, taking wood and metal and precious metals and making images of false gods, and then worshipping them in various ways. It's all a way of denying the true God, our Creator, the Lord of Lords. And so they turned away from those. Right? Their belief wasn't just some intellectual thing. Their sharing of the gospel was also saying, I'm changing my life. Not just for the sake of sharing the gospel, but it goes together. I'm embodying the gospel, and it's in public. So, you know, when Joe, Bob's friend in Thessalonica, says, hey, I'm going down tonight. You know, we're going to go down to the club and have some worship so that we can have good crops next week. We're going to go sacrifice some stuff. And hey, why don't you come down with me? No, I don't believe in that. I've turned away from my what? Well, your crops are going to fail. You're going to lose your job. You got to be part of this idol worship if you're going to survive. No. But for us, it's not physical idols. But there are so many things that capture our heart in the same way. We know them. It's money. It's power. It's popularity. It's sense of security, of being in control of everything around us. It's this, we are masters of our own destiny. It's a me first mentality. But these people turned away from those things. And they turned to God. Secondly, they served God. Turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Their lives, what they did with their time and their money and their hopes and their dreams and their energy changed. It was now about serving God, giving their lives, dedicating their lives to God's kingdom. And third, the gospel rang out from them and was visible to those around them as they were waiting for Jesus to return. Verse 10. To wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. They're waiting with great anticipation for Jesus to come back. They're not trying to make heaven on earth for themselves. They're looking forward to the future. They have their hopes set not on retirement, but on Jesus coming again, the kingdom of God being fulfilled, being established, and them being part of it. This is what happened to the Thessalonians. And this is normal. This is what we are called to. We are to receive the gospel, pass on the gospel, and live, embody the gospel as individuals and as the body of Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you, through someone, shared the gospel with us. And that you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, opened our eyes to believe, to see you and to believe that you worked in our hearts. I pray, O God, that you would help us to turn from the things of this world, that we would serve you with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That we would embody the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that we, this week, God, as we go about our lives, would pass the gospel on in word and deed. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.